Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Later on in the show, we're going to go out to Servite High School, and we're going to focus on their great football team. We're going to talk to four senior standouts out there, as well as their coach, Scott Meyer, and check in with the Friars, see how things are shaping up for them as the football season is right around the corner. But we're going to start out the show this week by talking with one of the great sports writers in Southern California, longtime prep sports writer with the LA Times, and that is Eric Sonheimer. Eric, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Thank you very much.
You know, let's go back in your history a little bit, and we're going to cover a lot of stuff here because I'm really glad we have you on, because so many of us that cover high school sports, you know, over the years for a living, you know, we have you to look up to, really, because you've really, you know, set the path for a lot of people in covering high school sports in Southern California. When did you first get a high school beat?
Well, I appreciate that. I started right after I graduated from Poly High in Sun Valley in 1976. I started training for the Daily News and also working part-time while I attended Cal State Northridge. John Elway had just moved to the area, Granada Hills, so when you get to see a future Hall of Famer as your probably your first ideal athlete, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth? Did you always figure you were going to get into reporting in some way? Did the newspaper bug kind of bite you early on?
Yeah, I always liked newspapers. I wrote for my school newspaper at junior high, also in high school. But there was a moment in after I graduated from Cal State Northridge that I actually was offered the sports information director's job there. And I had not been hired full-time at the Daily News, so I wanted a job. And luckily, the Daily News decided to offer me a job because I really didn't want to go into sports information. I really like newspapers more. And so that's how I ended up staying in newspapers and avoiding going the PR route.
Much more creative to be able to tell stories. Is that really the whole thing? I know personally, you know, I always tell people, you know, I'm a storyteller. That's what I love to do. So many other people that way are, you know, is it the same way for you?
It is. It's creating something out of nothing, but it also bringing forth some inspiring stories that people can feel, and also uncovering information that the public should know about and making a difference. And it's always a sometimes it's difficult to try and weigh the two, but I grew up in the time when all the president's men was out there, the Watergate affairs, and when newspaper people were heroes, you know, and did a great job, and that was pretty inspiring to see the difference that people could make in uncovering corruption and all that stuff. So that's kind of the background that probably inspired me to really want to become a reporter at the time.
Did you think that would be your beat, maybe? Did you want to kind of be a Woodward and Bernstein kind, or were you always a sports guy?
I liked politics. I was interested in government. I was also possibly going into teaching, but then you find out what you have to do to become a teacher, like learn math a little bit better. And as most journalists will probably say, they're not very good at math, but you probably had to pass a math test, as I recall, to get a teaching credential. I hated the geometry and all the rest. I had a C. That was a sign to me that I don't want anything to do with statistics a whole lot. Ironically, now those are very important, but you have computers and other things that help you along the way. But I always enjoyed trying to find things and to interview people and test them out. And it's one of the challenges. You never know if somebody's not telling the truth. That's only gotten worse, unfortunately.
Right.
But it's just part of the profession. And the key is you just keep checking. You never give up, and you try and be as accurate as you can and have credibility. Your credibility is the most important thing, that you do your best and you try to make sure everybody understands that you're just doing your job and you're trying to be fair and accurate.
Yeah, it's so true. Eric Sonheimer joining us, longtime prep sports writer with the Los Angeles Times. You know, the tools that you use now to report are much different. You mentioned computers, having a laptop in front of you, a cell phone. Those are things that when you and I first started in this business, we didn't have those kind of luxuries. You had to go find a payphone somewhere sometimes to get your story in on deadline. Have the tools made the job that much easier?
Yes, for sure. I mean, remember when I first started, you ran to the phones, whether it was the PE office or sometimes you were originally carrying like a 25-pound computer that was hard enough to carry around. And now, obviously, you have your cell phone. You could actually run it and send in a story. You have smaller computers that you're going to use for downloading video and tweeting and doing blogs. Basically, it's become multitasking. The technology has helped people do multiple things at once. It's taken away jobs from people because you could be the photographer, you can be the videographer, you can be the blogger while you're writing your story, and that's what I do. It's multitasking and various things.
I notice you do a lot of video work too. You'll put video posts up on the Times as well.
Right. The big key was a couple years ago when the Times asked for volunteers to learn how to shoot video. I had never shot video in my life. I was scared to death. But the week class taught me how to edit and gave me great instructions on how to shoot video with the importance of what you're looking for. And now I love it. It's a way of telling a story. I probably shoot more videos than anybody in the LA Times. I don't think anybody else is shooting videos except the ones who were hired as videographers. But to me, it was really important because that was a time where people were getting laid off. And if you made yourself more valuable and more versatile and you can be multitasking, there's no way they're going to lose you. So if I ever get laid off, you'll know that the apocalypse has hit because I probably fill so many different roles now for people that it would be quite interesting. But that was my idea, you know, to try and keep improving even when I was in the early 50s and stuff, age. So that's kind of the key for everybody is you want to keep improving. Even though they don't pay you more for doing that, you got to do it if you want to be part of the new technology and the new way of covering things.
I always thought you and Bill Dwyer would be the last two standing over there, and you're the guy now, right?
I don't know. Dwyer's gone, but he's still working and stuff. It's still fun. It remains fun as long as you get to keep seeing exciting athletes. And it gets frustrating at times because people make stupid comments and things like transfers constantly trying to ruin what high school sports is supposed to be about are always something that you have to look at and you have to decide, you know, behind the scenes what's really happening, but you have to report the facts. So those are some of the frustrations that you get.
You know, you have a unique, we're talking with Eric Sondheimer with the LA Times, you have a unique position in that you cover, I mean, everything, LA County, Orange County, Riverside, you're all over the place. Most guys have one section to cover or one county or whatever. You've got everywhere. How much more fun does it make it to be able to pull a story from almost anywhere?
Right. It's a really good point because I never thought that it would be fun. I worked for the Daily News from 1980 to 1997. Except for a brief period when I was with the National Sports Daily. And so I thought that was important. It is important to be local, to cover your community well. And so then I went to the LA Times and suddenly I had a much bigger audience. I first started with the Valley edition, but then I ended up being overall. And I was surprised how it made things easier because you could pick and choose. And that was the key. There's an incentive. It is a little bit harder in that you have to find a story that resonates beyond just the person's family. But to me, it's a lot easier. I get to pick and choose the best of the best. So if there's somebody really good in Orange County, I can make a story that people in L.A. County and San Luis Obispo County would be interested in. That's the secret for trying to do it when the Times has cut back on high school sports covers. Again, we used to have these additions for the various areas, and those went away. And so now I'm pretty much the last of the Mohicans as far as in the high school staff. So you have to really look for stories, again, that are going to resonate with beyond just the school people itself. You want to get more people involved, and that's why it's important to pick and choose and find stories of top athletes or inspirational stories or other things. So you put your mind put your head in the mind of the readers. There's some things that I don't like, but you have to, again, think what would the reader like, not what I would like.
Right.
I think that's one of the mistakes that people make. They try and say, hey, well, this is great, but who cares if the reader's not going to like it? So it's really a challenge because there's certain sports I like and others that I don't. But, you know, I'm trying to think of what would be interesting to people.
It's so true because you have to convince somebody that they're going to go pick up the newspaper that day or log into the website to read what you're doing. So many changes in the newspaper industry, of course, over the last, you know, decade and a half, I suppose. But it seems, though, that people still want to find out what's going on in their neighborhood schools, what's going on with their local athletes. I mean, there still seems to be people that want to read that prep sports page.
Right. I think so. The challenge, again, is the advertising. Even back when I first started, people were reluctant to advertise for high school sports. You had a certain amount, but never enough that it's going to be the key part of a newspaper. It's still professional and college that sells the advertising. At least those are the people who tell me, and I kind of agree, but I also think you need a component of a local component, whether that's, again, UCLA or USC as the local thing. And also what's become is these high school kids are going to those schools, so that becomes part of the component. One reason why recruiting coverage has become so big for a lot of websites and others, again, that's a local component. And so you have to combine that and keep developing. And then, of course, the Internet has changed everything. You can monitor things from when I go on trips overseas, like nobody knows that I'm not in the Valley or I'm not in Orange County, but I'm really in Bangkok or somewhere. But that's the way things are, and it makes it easier because I actually can get away and still, with the help of a phone, getting text and other things and a computer, you can still cover your beat. But don't tell anybody that. I still do cover when I'm on vacation, but I shouldn't be doing that.
It's so true. We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, more with Eric Sonheimer, the Dean of Prep Sports Reporters in Southern California. You're listening to Immaculate Heart Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and joining us this week is Eric Sonheimer, longtime prep sports reporter with the LA Times. And Eric, you know, one of the big things I wanted to talk to you about, because it's the thing in your resume that really popped out to me when I would look at it years ago, is you got a chance to work for the National Sports Daily. And to me, that was the holy grail of sports reporting. You know, back in the day when I was coming up and I wanted to be a sports reporter, I mean, I would grab that newspaper every day and read through it. And to find out that you actually got a chance to be a part of that, I mean, you must have some great stories. What was it like to be part of that great experiment, as it turned out to be? Because it ended up folding, but, you know, what a great thing it was while it lasted.
Right. It was quite an interesting experience. It was a big gamble because I thought I would never leave the Daily News, and it was a very difficult decision for me. I'd worked for the Daily News starting in 1976. So in 1990, this new sports paper was coming about, and I was being offered a job as a West Coast correspondent. It would not be covering high school sports. It would be covering USC, UCLA, the Lakers, and other things, something that I had done only sparingly. My focus was on high school, but my sports editor had been hired there as one of the West Coast editors. So I kind of put my faith in him and decided to join. It was a remarkable operation. I remember going to New York City, invited everybody to go to New York who was hired. I don't know who was paying for it. I guess the owner, the billionaire owner. He gives us all a $500 coin. I still have that coin, so it's probably triple the amount.
Wow.
Gold coin. And then I start asking people, who's paying for all this? And so you'll know 18 months later it folded because it was losing too much money. It was a great idea. They started things that nobody else did. They had pagination before anybody else had pagination. Now every newspaper uses pagination via satellites to print their processes. It had these box scores that nobody had ever done before. It created great columnists like Norman Chad that nobody had even heard about. So it was remarkable, the people that they hired. Frank DeFord was the editor. Mm-hmm. I was just a peon among that, and that was something that I had to get used to. But it was a good experience for me. They paid a lot more. But it taught me a lesson. You know, I wanted to be local. I loved covering local stuff, and that wasn't local enough for me. And it was hard to get stories in the paper and all that. So it really gave me an idea of what I wanted to do in the future. Now, I ended up getting my job back at the Daily News, but I had to have a cut in pay. But thank God I got a job. That was a time when newspaper business was in deep trouble starting. We had the economy was part of the recession going on. So who knows? I don't know how many of those people got rehired. But I was happy to go back and start my job all over again. But it was a great experience to be part of that.
And then you'd end up at the LA Times. How did that opportunity come about for you?
Well, in 1997, I had always dreamed of working for the LA Times. Back in 1980, when I graduated from Cal State Northridge, I remember writing a resume letter to the Valley editor, and he sent it back, "Well, you just don't have enough experience." And so I cried after reading that, and I vowed revenge. My motivation every day was to beat the LA Times. So from 1980 through 1997, that was the great motivation. And when they finally offered me a job, I was happy to accept it. I mean, one of the keys was that the Daily News was going through some hard times. The editor, the newspaper was being sold, and people were leaving, and it just wasn't the same because we used to have a lot of great writers there that started out. And so that also played in the decision. And then I went to the LA Times to be a local columnist. And soon, a couple years later, they get rid of all the local. And then they start laying off people. So it was an interesting time, but luckily I've been able to grow. And the best thing about the Times is it challenged you. They had much more ability to help you improve as a writer. I remember they sent me to a writing class in Santa Maria. They try to help the writers become better, and that was a big part of one of the reasons to leave. I didn't want to I wanted something to challenge me. If I was just staying in the Valley and just doing the Valley story, it's not like challenging that. This forced me to grow as a writer and as a reporter, and that's what was very important.
Yeah, so important. You're right, to keep challenging yourself as time goes on. You know, obviously, coming up in Southern California, you know, we've had so many great people to aspire to and to read their work. You know, Jim Murray, of course, you know, probably the top of the heap among all of them in Southern California. Did you get a chance to know him and some of the other great sports reporters that have come through the doors at the Times?
Yeah, I never was really downtown, but obviously being around Bill Plaskey has really been important. He's taught me a lot of different lessons, and he's always cooperative, always helpful. And we've had a lot of different writers that come through. I mean, growing up, I always admired Dwight Chapin and Jeff Prue. They were the writers when John Wooden was coaching at UCLA and stuff, and Ross Newhand. Those are some of the people that I remember. And even T.J. Simers, the controversial T.J. Simers, he learned things from him. I don't know how he did it when everybody hated him. He kind of showed that you got to have thick skin. You know, and to do your job. But, you know, it's you always just smite it to learn and to keep learning. I mean, that's the key. Again, as I told you a couple years ago, I learned how to shoot video. I seriously had never shot video in my life. I was not a photographer. And now I do it every week. And it is so fun to tell the story two different ways, to write a column and then visualize it through your video to make it even more appealing to people.
Yeah, it's so true. And surely the shoe is on the other foot now. I'm sure you have young reporters that come up to you now and say, "Hey, how can I get into this business? What can you teach me? What kind of advice can you give me that, you know, I want to be the next Eric Sonheimer?"
Yeah, and it's very frustrating and very difficult because I was lucky enough to come up in a time where they actually let you work at the paper, and sometimes you did it for free, but they let you work. Now, because of concerns about lawsuits or whatever, you know, interns, you really, it's not possible to do things for free. They need you to be official. And so you really can't hire a high school kid to work at a sports department. Now, we started out this new thing called High School Insiders, where they're working with high schools to try and develop writers, not necessarily just on sports, but others, which I think is a good thing because, again, I had an outlet that I was able to do. And I hope others are able to do it. And furthermore, there have been so many job losses that, you know, I don't want to discourage somebody that wants to get in the business, but it is so hard now to do that. I mean, it is very difficult, but I still think if you're dedicated enough and you study enough and you're talented enough and you're hungry enough, you can still find a way to do it. And there's lots of other new jobs being opened up through the internet that can lead to things.
It's so true. Your careers have taken you to radio and television as well. You know, I got a chance to work with you many times on TV, LA 36. You know, you're a regular on there, Time Warner Cable, back when we were doing all the high school stuff over at Time Warner Cable a couple of years back.
That's the most stunning thing, that I work on television occasionally. Who would want to put me on television? If you said that, I would never. I still remember my the best class I ever took in college was one of the first classes I took, and that was a speech class because I was so scared to talk in front of people. And it's one reason I became a journalist, I think, is because you're empowered. You are a reporter. You can ask the questions, and it doesn't matter if they're good or bad, but you are a reporter. So that got away some of the shyness, and the speech class I took in college really taught me how to be organized as far as putting together speeches and other things, and that was the crucial thing. And if I would recommend to anybody, it would be to take a speech class because you have to go talk in front of people, be organized, and it was probably the greatest class other than typing in high school that I ever took.
It's a confidence builder.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they force you to talk in front of people in your class. Everybody should do it if they're going to get involved in a job that requires you to talk to people. I would think most jobs require you to talk to people.
You would think. Last couple of minutes here with Eric Sonheimer, the Dean of Prep Sports Writers in Southern California, currently with, of course, with the LA Times. Do you have a favorite story you've done over the years?
Well, there's lots of good stories. I mean, one of the stories is I did a story on a Chaminade High School quarterback who kept a secret from his mother that he was playing football. So it got to the point that one time his mom came into his room and he had to throw out his equipment from the second floor window to hide from her. The father knew, but the mother didn't. That guy was named Pablo Suarez. And he went on to become a college pitcher and didn't give up football. And then he became a horse racing owner, and I met him again there. And now his kids are in high school and all that. So that was one of the more intriguing stories. You know, probably the most toughest story and most nerve-wracking story was back in the 1980s when I did this story on a package opening up at the home of a Chris Mills. And it contained money from the University of Kentucky. And so I ended up pursuing a story about illegal money being passed on, and I'll never forget that. 11:30 p.m. SportsCenter, the lead story is the Daily News is reporting a package containing $1,000 opened up at the home of a recruit, and now the NCAA is investigating. And that story led to the resignation of the head coach, I believe. The athletic director ended up resigning, and everybody's screaming, it's the Daily News. They're trying to keep Chris Mills from going here and all this other stuff. But it obviously was ended up being true and stuff. But that was told me again that the impact that people could have, and it didn't matter where you were at, whether you were in Kentucky or Los Angeles. And so, that was an interesting little situation that developed.
Yeah, those are the kind of stories that you can sink your teeth into. And then the next phone call leads to the next phone call, and pretty soon you're on the trail, mm-hmm. right?
Well, the key was, again, to be accurate. It's kind of what's going on today in politics. You have to double and triple check things. You have to go out at 4:30 a.m. and check to the person who supposedly delivered the package. Luckily, I had lots of help at that time at the Daily News. And so once that person confirmed, yes, this did happen, then that was good. But one of the people involved ended up suing the packaging company and got money out of it.
Oh, geez.
But it wasn't because of me. I just reported the facts.
Well, Eric, we want to thank you for joining us here at Catholic Sports View, and we look forward to many more bylines for you as we keep going here and we all follow these prep sports. The football season right around the corner and a whole new school year ready to begin one more time.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric. That's Eric Sonheimer with the LA Times joining us here on Catholic Sports View. Another quick break here, and we'll be right back on Immaculate Heart Radio. Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. I'm Bob Gibson, and recently we went out to Servite High School and had the chance to sit down with four of their senior football standouts. And Servite's doing things a little bit differently this year. They're going to run a new offense, and they think they've got the horses to do it, and they're trying to make a statement in this tough Trinity League. We got a chance to sit down, first of all, with their standout senior wide receiver, DeLon Hurt.
You know, first of all, I want to talk with you about, coming into this being your senior season.
Right.
When you reflect back on your junior year, you know, a year ago, you know, anything that's short of any kind of a championship or a win at the end is obviously going to be a disappointment. What was your thought process in the off season as you head towards now your senior year?
Pretty much just staying focused throughout the whole year. I felt like in the past years, we felt like we've looked past people and kind of marked them as a W on the schedule before we even played them. And this year, I'm not really looking to do that. Looking to take each game one by one and just get it done.
Do you look forward to being that senior leader, the guy that is looked upon as a leader by some of the younger underclassmen?
Yes, I do. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge to give them since I've played here since my sophomore year. And I've learned from some good guys older than me from the past 2 years. So I feel like I can be a good help. And when they're on the sideline, we have some adversity, I can help them out and let them know we can still win the game.
Is that something you learned to be a leader? Did you notice the way other guys, when you were younger, did you notice how they carried themselves and the things they did? And you've maybe kind of filed that away in your head that you're able to use now?
Yeah, definitely. Guys like Jared Wessner, Keon Riley, Aaron Simpson all helped me out. Tyler Lytle helped me out, let them know how I lead my guys and give them constructive criticism instead of bringing them down. Always lift them up and let them know it's going to be all right.
What does it mean to you to be able to put on that black jersey every Friday night and represent Servite?
It's definitely something special for me. I know out of all the places I went, I'm definitely glad I came to Servite. I'm going to be a Servite guy. I've been here all 4 years and I'm glad I stayed and finished it out.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the program, you know, obviously you choose to come to Servite. You know, this is a place you choose to come and be a student at and play football. What has your entire experience been at the school? You know, not just football-wise, but, you know, academically and socially.
Academically, it has challenged me, but it's always been for the better. I feel like I've gained a lot of knowledge here, gained a lot of good friends that I'll continue to keep contact with through college and my adult years. So I really feel like I gained a lot of brothers since I've been at Servite.
What are your memories that you're going to take with you? Obviously, you're going to try to make some big ones, you know, this coming up senior year. But already, what are the things that, you know, you're kind of putting away in the back of your mind?
Definitely, like, when we have football, we have our camp week here. So we spend the night, a couple nights, hanging out with these guys. Lunch period is always a good time. And sometimes just in the classroom, the moments we have together is always good.
When it's all said and done, you know, what would you like to be able to walk off the field for the last time as a Friar and be able to say to people?
Let them know that I gave my all. I left it all out there on the field and that that we gave it all we could.
I'll kind of ask you some of the same questions that I asked Alon. Heading into a senior season, obviously, you know, this is it for you as a high school football player. What's your mind frame been during the off season, all the workouts? What are the things you really focused on, you know, knowing that you want to come in and make this a special year?
Just embracing that leadership role, getting all the guys together and just all trying to have the same common goal to win more games and just turn this program around.
Yeah, when you talk about turning the program around, I mean, Servite, you know, had great heights, you know, so some years ago before you guys, this group, you know, obviously came on campus. But it's been a few years, and it's tough in the Trinity League.
Yes.
We know. You guys know full well what Mater Dei and Bosco have done these past couple of years. You know, how can Servite get to that level?
Just believing in what the coaches have to say. You know, a lot of teams that aren't as successful don't really buy into what the coaches' philosophies are and their scheme and stuff like that. So just getting all the guys to be on the same mentality and then jump on board, that'll really help turn the program around and get us all in the same direction.
Is there a feeling of this is like a family here?
Yes, most definitely. This year more than ever, I feel it. I've been here for 4 years, so this year is definitely like, I feel like this could be the year that, you know, we start turning things around. You know, everyone's on board. You know, we're getting closer. There's been some rough patches, but for the most part, we're coming together pretty nicely.
How important was the passing league, this past weekend when you guys were out at Edison? How important was it to have a good showing there? Kind of maybe show some people that, you know, Servite's back on the map.
Yes, that was very important. You know, we did really well, so I was happy about that. But it was very important just to show people that we're really serious what we're doing over here and that we're really on the rise and really coming back.
Is there a little bit of a chip maybe on everybody's shoulder? I mean, obviously we talk about Mater Dei and Bosco, and they got all the headlines, and rightfully so. They've been the team. But is there a feeling like, hey, look at us too? You know, we're a team that's going to win a lot of games as well.
Yes, and most definitely. I feel like we can compete with anyone on the schedule and win every game. But we just really have to come together and just embody that role that everyone needs to be a leader and everyone needs to follow the scheme and do everything correctly.
You talk about leadership. Is that a role that you really embrace?
Yes, I do. I've been working on it ever since I finished my last junior season. I've just been trying to coach up the young guys and get everybody on the same page, and just everyone on the same page really will help the team move forward.
Is it something the coaches have asked you to do, or is that just something personally where you kind of saw that opening and said, hey, this is something I can do, you know, be a leader and be an example to these guys?
Just personally, you know, I saw a lot of guys. We had some very good guys leave last year, so I had to fill that role, and a couple other guys, we had to fill that role. So I just looked at myself and was like, I have to do it or else nobody else will, so.
What's it like to be part of this program?
Well, it's a blessing, honestly. No one really knows, unless you're really in the program, how it really feels. It's really a brotherhood. You know, the faculty, the coaches, the alumni, everyone's really cool and close. So I really like that about this school.
Has it gone quick?
Yes, it has gone quick. I never would have believed it either. Freshman year, everyone's like, oh, it's going to go quick. It's going to go quick. And I did not believe them at all. But now I look around and my first last game is coming up. So it's crazy.
Talking to guys on offense, it's going to take a lot of offense to compete in the Trinity League at any time. But as a defensive player, you know, you look at the film and then you look at what Modern Day presents on offense. You look at what Bosco presents on offense. Is that a fun challenge to look at that and want to compete with those players?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going into the week playing the different teams in Trinity, you watch the film and you get to know their tendencies and what they like to do on certain downs. It's really fun defensively because you want to be able to shut them down and give the ball back to the offense and make it a high-scoring game. You want to stop them. And, I mean, it's really fun just playing defense and making all the tackles. So.
Yeah. Explain to people who don't get it. You know, a lot of people just – everybody comes and sits in the stands on Friday and they watch you play and they think you guys maybe just show up and play. But talk about all the work that goes into it, you know, in the film room and on the field, getting ready to play a certain opponent.
Oh, I mean – throughout the week, we got lifting, we got meetings, we're watching film, countless hours of film. We're getting the scout team giving us a look on what we're going to see coming Friday night. There's speed training, early morning workouts during the summer. There's just countless hours of work, and it's all going to pay off when it comes to the league, playing to the big teams that are because last year Bosco won state, so we're playing against teams that aren't, you know, just average. They're really talented teams, so it's really fun.
How has this summer gone for the Friars? How have you guys maybe kind of gelled as a team together, you know, during the summertime?
For the most part, we lost a couple people transferred to Olu, and from there we just kind of took a step forward and said, okay, this is what we have. This is our team. We're going to work hard. I mean, we've been working super hard in the weight room. Everyone's sweating. Everyone's getting going. Everyone is supporting each other on the field. We've just been continuing to get better. I know for our linebacker core, we've been getting better on our reads, stronger in the weight room, and it's just going to be really fun to see our growth to the start of the season.
You mentioned a couple of guys, you know, left and, you know, had other opportunities maybe. Does that kind of strengthen you guys as a family? Kind of like, hey, we're going to, you know, we're kind of strengthen your resolve and maybe put a little chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, definitely, because the guys that want to transfer for their own personal reasons, it kind of gives us clarity and an understanding of who wants to be on the team and who's all in. So all the brothers around us that are still here and that have stuck through it, it really gives us a good understanding of who's part of the team and who's not. So
tell us a little bit about being a leader on this team. You know, obviously going into your senior season, do you feel like you're one of the leaders on defense?
Definitely. I'm the only returning starter for the linebackers, so I'm going to be the leader of the linebacking core, also the leader of the defense. Me and my teammate Julius will be calling out the defense. We're going to be the senior leaders for the defense and for the team. I really hope to be a Curia member and like lead off on the hut drill and stuff like that. So I'll be leading the team in the weight room, getting people to continue working, and it's just going to be a real fun experience for my senior year.
Being out at the 7-on-7 at Edison, you know, this past week, it was noticeable that the offense already looked like it was, you know, hitting on all cylinders. You know, how proud were you? How happy were you with some of the showing that you had over at Edison?
I was pretty proud because we just have so many athletes. Our coaches are leaving all the trust in our athletes, and they're calling the great plays to get us in there. And I got all the athletes like DeLon out there, Lincoln, Dominic, Spencer, Julius, even Trent, everybody out there, and they're just making plays for me. Makes it easy for me.
How much fun has it been in this offseason, you know, knowing that you go into the senior year with these kind of athletes around you, and how much work have you guys put into it to make sure you guys are on the same page?
We've been putting in a lot of work. I have a quarterback coach that I work with, and I try to always get my guys out there so I can get the timing down. We really just want to focus on this year, make sure that this is our best year, because we've all been talking about our senior year was going to be our best year, and the previous years haven't been that great, so we really wanted to step up this year and make it something special.
Obviously, this is the Trinity League. The best of the best teams in some of the best teams in the nation are right here in this league. It's obviously an honor to be a quarterback on a Trinity League team. I mean, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot because every week you're getting knocked around, and it's the toughest league, like they all say. You're getting beat up after play, and you're coming home. You're bruised, you're sore, you barely can walk the next day, but you got to do it every single week. So being able to compete against all the great athletes in the Trinity League, it's just something special, especially when you're dominating. So that's what I want to do this year.
When you turn on the film, you look at a team like Modern Day and the defense that they have. You look at a team like Bosco and the kind of athletes they have over there. Do you like that challenge? Do you look forward to saying, hey, I want to see what I can do against those great athletes?
Yes, sir, because they're the top dogs right now. Those two teams have been dominating the Trinity League, and you always want to take down the biggest guys. That's why it's always great to take them down.
What else do you get out of the passing league? I mean, it's 7-on-7. It's, you know, it's there's no pass rush coming. But what are the things you guys really focus on? What can you get the most out of that kind of an experience?
We really focus on the timing of the routes and just making sure that we're making all the right reads and making quick decisions and reading the defense, getting as fast as we can, working on our tempo.
How important is it going to be for this offense to just click early, especially in non-league, and really get a good flow going?
It'll be tremendous if we can get going real fast, because then we can put up points. I mean, Corona Centennial, this is their offense that we're running, and when they put up points, they're unstoppable, and they just keep on winning. So if we can do that, we'll be just fine, I think.
When it's all said and done and you walk off the field for the last time as a Friar, you know, what do you want these memories to be from the senior year?
I want us to know that we gave it all we got, and that we were just out on the field just putting it out for each other and giving it everything, because, you know, if you don't give it, you're going to have regrets, and I don't want to have any regrets about this year.
I want to thank those four guys for talking with us this week. Another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with the head football coach out at Servite, and that is Scott Meyer. More right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. It's obviously summertime. But this is where all the work gets put in that equates to what's going to happen, you know, during the season. You know, how are your feelings about how your summer's gone, you know, with the Friars?
Really well. You know, we've come a long way in the last 3 weeks, and we're really excited. It's going fast. And say it's just summertime, but we're just talking in a coach's meeting that, shoot, it's right around the corner. But it's been a good summer. We've come a real long way since the spring.
Gone are the days where, you know, football season kind of coincided with the start of school in September. I mean, everything really gets going in August now, which means by July, with the time we're in now, you really need to have these guys ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, we start school early here. We start August 11th. But, yeah, we scrimmage Seraph Gardena on August 17th. Our first game's August 25th. So, yeah, it comes really, really quick.
You happy with the way the 7-on-7 went the other day? You know, I got to see in game one out there, but were you happy with the day in total?
Yeah, it was a real positive day. Went 4-0 in the morning in our pool, and had the opportunity to play Modern Day the first game in the afternoon. We, you know, went there to try to win the whole thing. So a little disappointed that we didn't, you know, beat those guys, and we had a good opportunity to do so. But it was real positive, and you know, we talked about really building on that moving forward. And again, it's just 7-on-7, but you know, you always like to compete and win.
For the kids, obviously, it's good to get out, and you mentioned compete, you know, look across at an opponent, something like that. What kind of intel is the coaching staff able to gather? What kind of stuff are you able to come back into the coaching room here and get out of a day like that?
Yes, yeah, it's a great day to see how kids respond and compete. It's a great tournament. They do a great job over there. There's a lot of people out there watching. So we were really happy the way our guys competed, the way they, you know, responded, and the way they hung together as a team.
What are some things that maybe have changed about this team now as you head into this new season?
Well, we've got a new offensive staff with a new offensive system, so that's probably a pretty glaring change. And we've got, you know, probably more linemen than we've had in the past. So we're really comfortable with our skilled athletes, and, you know, pretty excited about our linemen that we have this year as well.
This offensive system that you're implementing, I heard it's a lot like the one Centennial runs. Is that true? Is that something we're going to be able to see out of the Friars this year?
Yeah, we've got some coaches from the Centennial staff, you know, that wanted an opportunity to, you know, kind of run an offense, you know, on their own. So they brought that system here, and we're going to give it a good shot. We think we have the athletes and the linemen to run it. So we're doing the best we can to learn it, you know, as quickly as possible.
Right. Two things about that offense. I'll take it in two parts. Number one is you need the horses to be able to get out there and run that. And you need a quarterback, you know, who knows on every play exactly, you know, where they're going. It looks like you've got that quarterback this year.
Yeah. You know, we've actually got two that we really, really like. Tyler McMahon will be a senior, and Caden Bell a junior. And they pretty much split reps in the Edison tournament, and they both did a real good job. You know, both good athletes, both good leadership skills, and both can throw it pretty well. So we're lucky to have two.
So obviously, two, an offense that will score very quickly at times. Yeah. And we've seen that, you know, if we compare it to what we've seen at Centennial and what Matt Logan's done over there, which can in turn put pressure on your defense. You know, so you need to have the players on defense, too, that they can hold up to that kind of a barrage throughout a game as well.
It does. You know, we've told the guys they've got to score 50 or 60. Otherwise, there's going to be an awful lot of pressure on the defense. But, yeah, it's an offense that can score, you know, on any given play, so we do have to make sure that, you know, defensively we're, you know, ready to play a lot of plays each game and, you know, get off the field and get the offense the ball back.
This is a league, you know, the Trinity, which top to bottom is a great, you know, league. I mean, you know, it seems every year a poor program like Jay Sarah, I say poor, but they'll win 7-8 games maybe during the season and still come in last in the Trinity. That's how competitive, you know, this league is with Modern Day and Bosco, obviously the past couple of years being national powers up at the top. Was a change like this on offense maybe a necessity to try to combat kind of falling into the middle of the pack as Santa Margarita and Servite seems to have done in these past couple of years?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's a great league. All six teams went to the playoffs last year, which is in Division I. That's pretty
it's crazy,
awesome
right?
statement.
I mean, it shows you how good everybody is.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I mean, there's 18 teams in Division I, and our league had six in the playoffs. So that says a lot right there. But, yeah, you know, hoping this offense can give us a little bit of a spark as we take, you know, hopefully the next step forward.
When you look at your comfort level, you know, here at Servite, and I talked about this, you know, with you last year, and, you know, you seem to just hit the ground running here. You know, you really, I said at the time, I thought you were the perfect, you know, hire here at Servite. You feel like, you know, this has really become home for you?
Yeah, I have. You know, it's gone so fast. Yeah. You know, that first season, we're heading into year three, and we really feel like this is the year that we can get over the hump and really continue to build, get this program back to the top where we want it to go. But yeah, we're comfortable here. Maybe comfortable is not the right word because, you know, in this league, like you said, if you get comfortable, I think you're going to get beat.
It's so true. When you look at the challenge ahead, I mean, it's a daunting task week to week, you know, to compete. How important is it to have that non-league schedule that prepares you for what the Trinity will bring?
Yeah, I think we have a good non-league schedule. Team from Utah and American Fork, playing a couple teams from the Corona area, Norco and Eastvale Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. And then Villa Park, kind of a little local team in L.A. Garfield. But, yeah, we got to get ready in those first five games for league. And, you know, win or lose in this league Saturday morning, you just have to turn the page and get ready for the next week.
What have you tried to impart upon your players as far as, you know, just getting ready? I mean, the kids that have been here for a couple of years, you know, they know the drill. But when you talk about the need to bring in some sophomores who are going to play maybe this year and contribute, you know, how quickly can you get them up to speed and on what it'll take to compete?
Yeah, you know, that's, I guess, part of it in the spring and summer is getting some of those younger guys in some of these tournaments, you know, in some of these 7-on-7s and lineman competitions, just so they're competing and seeing, you know, what it really takes, not necessarily on a Friday night, but at the varsity level. And some of our older guys have done a real good job as leaders, kind of bringing them along, you know, during the summer.
You know, as I walked around the at Edison, you know, I like to use the eye test a little bit and see who looks like they've got the horses. You know, Servite, to me, passed the eye test. You've got some big kids over here, not only some playmakers on offense, but some big kids in the trenches. I mean, you're comfortable with, you know, your lines on both sides?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, we probably have more bigger bodies, you know, than we have the past 2 years. You know, some are younger kids, right. But we're going to try to bring them along. And, you know, in those five non-league games, hopefully we can have them ready for Trinity League where they can give us some reps on Friday night. And, you know, love our skill guys. You know, we've got a bunch of them that I wouldn't trade for anybody.
Let me ask you about DeLon and what the skill set that he brings to this team. You know, he looks like somebody you can ask to do a lot of things, and he's capable of doing them.
Yeah, he had a great offseason. He ran track, improved his speed, worked really hard in the weight room, added probably 10 to 15 pounds of muscle. But he's can run. He's very intelligent. He can go up and get the ball, real strong hands. So he's had a real impressive spring and summer. So we're real excited about the year he's going to have.
Have the kids taken to this new offense? Are they excited about it?
I think so, yeah. You know, there's a learning curve, obviously. But I think now, and especially with our success last week, I think the light, you know, kind of went on. And, you know, keep telling them, in real football, when they actually run the ball, it's going to open up the passing game even more.
Yeah, you know, I know there's a lot of special things that happen within football programs. You know, you guys have a thing here where the kids will be on campus, and, you know, it'll be, you know, kind of, this will be home for them for a couple of days. How big a bonding experience is that for them, for the coaches, you know, to kind of come together as a family, and, you know, and those kind of things really need to happen within a football community?
Yeah, I think it's a great 3 days. You know, we start with a mass, you know, a team mass with our coaches. And we really have a couple hours of football practice each day. But within the full day, we do a Fire Olympics, which is, you know, fun, but competitive team building type stuff. The players will do skits. So we get to spend a lot of time together, you know, eating together, staying on campus, you know, getting some football time, some meeting time, but also some fun, competitive, you know, team building type stuff.
Right. Obviously, you know, at CDM, you're able to send a lot of kids off with great memories, you know, into their college years and into, you know, the rest of their lives. Yeah, how important is it to you to be able to do that here, you know, at Servite as well, to create those memories for the kids who come through and spend their 4 years here?
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, one of the main jobs of the high school coach. You know, we want this to be the best high school football experience possible. You know, and winning obviously is a huge part of that. But there's one champion each year, and if we aren't that champion, we want it still to be a great, great experience, football experience with great memories that they'll have for the rest of their life.
I want to thank all my guests this week, including Eric Sonheimer and Scott Meyer and everybody over at Servite High School. Thanks again for joining us right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. If you want to catch a replay of this show or any of the others we've done, simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio, and you can catch all the archived programs right there just by clicking the link. I am Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Camp Maria Stella, a summer camp for girls, is currently accepting registrations. Camp Maria Stella is in the San Gabriel Mountains, a short distance from Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. Operated by the Sisters of Social Service for over 75 years, Camp Maria Stella is a great experience for girls. Great fun is had while spiritual development and character is developed. Traditional camp activities include prayer, games, ceramics, swimming, nature activities, hiking, drama, camp songs, arts and crafts. Camp is a very safe environment for your daughter. For more information on Camp Maria Stella in the San Gabriel Mountains, call 818-285-1555. That's 818-285-1555. Or visit the website at campmariastella.com. That's campmariastella.com.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.